Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in studio today is my beloved sister Tamara Evans. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam.
We are going to discuss a time to worship. Today we begin where worship cost us the most, in the valley. Have you ever stood in a season where the music stopped, but God still asked for a song? Real worship does not wait for perfect conditions. It comes from those broken hearts, tired prayers, and tear-filled eyes. Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is not just poetry. This is power. Worship isn't just for the mountain. It's for the valley. When life hurts and prayers seem unanswered, worship becomes a weapon. So during this first episode, Tamara and I will talk about what it means to worship when life hurts, when faith is bruised, and when God feels silent. So go ahead and get your coffee or your tea or whatever that favorite drink and join us as we discuss this topic. A timely topic, a time to worship. Tamara, let's start at the heart. What exactly is worship and why does it matter?
Worship is a heart condition before the Lord. It's a surrendering of the will to acknowledge the sovereignty, providence, the majesty of the Lord we serve. Worship comes from within and it is expressed without, and that is worship to me.
I like what Romans 12 and 1 had to say. It reads, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." God is not just for me asking for a part of me, but all when it comes to worship. I used to think worship was an event. You go to church and this is praise and worship. I may be at home during my private time with God, and I have a time of worship. But what I have learned and I'm learning is worship is a lifestyle. Yes, one of the ways we express it is by raising our hands and lifting up to God and worshiping Him. And I love a good music to get me in the mood to worship. But for me, that is just as a result of the life I've lived, that relationship, that intimacy with God that I have is expressed during this time of worship. So for me, it's that lifestyle, living for God fully and totally and giving Him my all.
Yeah, when we think about worship, if we can go to the beginning in the book of Genesis and we look at the story of Cain and Abel, and we saw both came to offer sacrifice to the Lord. One sacrifice was accepted and one was rejected. One was accepted, and if we look at it in context, that the heart condition of Abel was one who acknowledged God, who understood whom he was worshiping, and had a heart of humility when he expressed his worship to God through his sacrifice. And then we see Cain, who came to express himself, offer his sacrifice with a heart, the Lord said, if you look in the New Testament, it was a heart of haughtiness, some arrogance, and almost out of obligation, and his own was rejected. And so the Lord showed us in the beginning what was acceptable to him in our worship. And so it's not what we're putting in our hands before him. The widow brought her mite. The widow brought her mite mm-hmm. to worship in giving. The others brought out of their abundance. Mm-hmm. But the Lord says hers mm-hmm. was accepted. Mary of Bethany with her alabaster box was very expensive mm-hmm. and costly. Mm-hmm. But she offered that, mm-hmm. and that was accepted. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much the expression, right. the mite, the alabaster box, but what it comes out of, a heart that is surrendered, a heart that is anchored in Christ, a heart that knows, someone who knows their God, mm-hmm. who knows the truth of who God is, and how majestic and powerful and almighty He is. And once you recognize that, then what flows out of in your giving, in your expressions during the worship service, hands raised, so forth, mm-hmm. so they are all flowing from what's coming from the inside.
A heart condition.
A heart condition.
A heart condition. Reminds me of what Joel said in Joel chapter 2 and 13, rend your hearts.
And not your garments.
And not your garments. Mm-hmm. So it's not that outward expression. Yes, you do that. But that don't determine if you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth.
Right. And even the place where you worship, mm-hmm. they mentioned that from the book of John 4 when Jesus had his discussion with the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not here at this mountain or in Jerusalem that we will worship, but the Lord is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth because He is spirit. Mm-hmm. So, and then again, there's a criteria that worship should be in spirit
and in truth.
It should come out of all the knowledge we know about God from His Word. His revealed self to us, all of His great works and mighty acts from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament, His redemptive work, in our knowledge of that, and even in the dark places when you started to talk about it, our spirits then should take us to, in those dark places, the acknowledgement. This I recall to mind, Jeremiah says, therefore I have hope.
Yeah, and it's authentic.
It's authentic.
It's coming from within, and it's authentic. And it's also, you know, worship for me is also declaring who God is, even when circumstances don't agree. And sometimes that could be hard. You're going through something, and you expect to worship God. I was talking to my nephew the other day. He's 8 years of age, and he swims. And I told him, I said, you know what the secret is to doing well? When you're tired, you push harder. And he says, I can't do that any palm. If I'm tired, push harder. That makes no sense. So I'm telling you. And that's how it sometimes seems when we are going through. You're saying to me that not forget about my problems, but I must worship God in the midst of it. Yeah, that's what God is calling us to do. When we look at Job chapter 1, mm-hmm. verses 20 to 21, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. Job just found out his family, his children had passed. He lost his assets, his money, and all the, you know, the fine stuff of life. And this is what Job did. He shaved his head, tore off his robe, and he fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord give, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the God. What this is showing me is Job is saying, if I have it, I'm going to worship you. If mm-hmm. I don't have it, I'm going to worship you. And I particularly like what verses 22 said. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. He is going through all of this, and I cannot begin to imagine mm-hmm. going through what Job went through. But he worshiped God in the midst of it. And that can only happen when it's coming from within a mm-hmm. pure heart. Because if you don't have that foundation, a lot of people, when trouble comes, they turn away from God.
You said the key word, foundation. Mm-hmm. And you said earlier about a lifestyle. And if we look from the beginning of Job, mm-hmm. he had a lifestyle mm-hmm. of worship. Mm-hmm. We see where, you know, his sons and daughters would go and they would what we call our party. Mm-hmm. And Job would daily go before the Lord and offer a sacrifice for his children. He said, in case they had sinned against God. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, he lived a life of acknowledging the sovereignty of God in his life, in the life of his family. And he worshiped his God daily. He worshiped him daily. So when the crisis hit him,
right,
he went to do what was normal for him to do. This is my lifestyle. I go back to acknowledging the one who gave them to me. And I go back to acknowledging the one who took them away. And the same one who gave and took them away is worthy to be called blessed. Blessed. And so Job shows us that in abundance, in lack, in prosperity, and wherever life may take us, when worship is a lifestyle, we go to what we know to do, which is to acknowledge God's presence in the middle of the crisis. Yeah. And worship him, offer him up our bodies as living sacrifices, broken and all, mm-hmm. torn. I'll never forget this. Two incidences where mothers had lost their sons to violence. And I remember it, watching one on television. And I remember that mother, she was just a few yards away from her son's body, in the road on her knees. And I heard her crying and screaming and saying, Lord, I still praise you. Mm-hmm. I still worship you. I still give you glory in the middle of seeing her son's body just yards away from her. That stuck with me because it tells me that there goes a woman who knew her God and determined that in the midst of this pain, I can take it to him. Mm-hmm. Another instance was when a young man was killed. I think he was coming from school. And it was maybe that evening or a few days later, I was driving in the east. And his mother was sitting on the ground in the evening, having a vigil and crying out to the Lord in the very spot her son was killed. This isn't nowhere else in the world or what we read in the Bible. This is right here in Nassau. Mm-hmm. That is what she was doing because she understood that. Yes, this is tragic. Yes, this is evil. Yes, this pain is going to go with me. But I need to recognize this pain right here, that there is a God who is sovereign over this pain and in the sorrow with me.
And acknowledging that there's only one person who can help me.
Oh, yeah.
During my hour of grief and devastation.
Yes.
Calling on him and trusting him.
Yeah.
Every journey begins with a single step. Milestones come and go. But financial security, that lasts a lifetime. At CFAO, we're here. Through every chapter, every choice, every change. CFAO, growing wealth for future generations.
So, Tamara, but we talk about how Job worshiped God in the midst of the devastation that was going on in his life. What does this type of posture, though, tell us or teach us about the kind of worship that God desires?
The word humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Mm-hmm. God is the all-powerful one. God is the one who is worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshiped, worthy to be adored. Therefore, when we come with a heart of humility, understanding that we are the created ones and he is the creator, and that when we come, whatever we have belongs to him anyway. Our bodies belongs to him. He created us. He formed us in our mother's womb. All of the resources we have, our talents, our gifts, the financial positioning, they are his. And so when we come in worship, whether it's in our giving, whether it's in ministering through the talents that he's given us, we understand clearly that it does not belong to us in the first place, like Job pointed to. We did not produced ourselves and allowed us. I was sharing with my husband, whatever we have is God, because we don't have to be in our right minds.
No.
We don't have to be in our right minds to go to work and to be able to produce at high levels and execute tasks with excellence, because God could determine one day, like he determined with Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be crazy, you're going to act like a wild beast, need to eat grass.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to recognize that he is the one that gives us everything we have. And because he gives us everything he has, thinking about the woman with the alabaster box, mm-hmm. she acknowledged Jesus. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. This is who I have before me, and I'm going to give him my best. And she took her best, which was that expensive perfume, and she worshiped at his feet.
And in him giving us his best, he is asking us.
Yes.
For our whole lives, not just part of it.
No.
Okay, God, I can let you handle this and this and this, but on this side here, I think I can handle that, because I'm not sure what, you know, you're going to ask me to do. I remember when I was younger and young in the word as well, on my walk with God, I literally used to not ask God for a certain thing because I felt that he's not going to give me what I want. I felt that this God, he's like, oh, I kind of had an idea of his standard. I was like, I'm not going to ask God because he's not going to give me what I want. And I feel that I want this.
Yeah.
And I had to wait until I got to that level of maturity when I says, okay, God, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. And I want you to take control of everything. And that's what it means when he says that we are to surrender. You mentioned it earlier when you talked about worship. It's about surrendering our entire life. That's yes. our mind, our desires, our time, our energy, our relationships. And even what we don't have physical actions. A lot of times people think that God is only concerned about when we get in church.
Mm-mm.
And that aspect of our life, working in ministry or whatever we do around the church. But he is concerned about every aspect of our lives, no matter how simple. Because I go to him with everything. I won't say, because you're probably saying, come on, Pam, that's a little vain there, right? But I go to him with everything.
When I think about it, when David was in a tight spot, a crisis was before him, he went to God with it. He had a love for the sanctuary. He had a love of communing with God and worshiping God. And he determined that even in a crisis, even in a place, his son basically ran him from his throne. Mm-hmm. He found a way, whether it's a cave or a mountain place, wherever it was to be, to connect with God and to humble himself mm-hmm. and to recognize that who he was as a sinner, as someone who fell short, and the majesty of the God he served. And he had to acknowledge that. It's in that acknowledgement that God worked in his life and moved on his behalf. And this is where we see in the word, some of the greatest work in man when they recognize their frailty, their sinfulness. Then they come before the Lord with it in worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then God moves in their hearts and moves in their lives in such a great way that they wrought great works for God because they knew what worship is. They experienced it and they lived it
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
And it's about being obedient to his word.
Yes.
Obedient to what he has called us to do. That's where I believe it starts.
It starts with obedience to his word. Because he's, you know, Jesus said to the woman at the well, he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we see where throughout the word of God that men worshiped God, Moses, Aaron, these were They men that failed mm-hmm. in some aspect of their right. lives. And we find the women worshiping the Lord. It's understanding that God requires us, that we were meant to glorify him and worship him. And I said, we see worship in Genesis. We see worship in Revelation.
Yeah.
Pure worship.
Spirit and truth.
Where the elders they cast their crowns, mm-hmm. their majesty, something that is supposed to show their authority and glory. They cast them off. Mm-hmm. That's the recognition that I am not worthy. I am not the one, but the one who is worthy to be worshipped, mm-hmm. is worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and majesty and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. So recognize who we are, and in obedience, worship God the way he requires us, not our own standards, not what we think, because he will reject it. He will reject it. Mm-hmm. But if we do it the way he wants us to, he will accept it, and he will bless us.
Yep. He definitely requires a heart of worship, not necessarily that comfort.
Right.
That we want to have. Like I talked about how I didn't want to ask him for what I wanted. But Tamara, can worship change circumstances or the situation around us?
I would say worship changes us.
Mm.
The Lord wills what the end result of what we're going through would be like. Mm-hmm. We have to remember that. But in the worship, it's nevertheless not my will,
but yours be done.
That's the point we get mm-hmm. when we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Getting rid of self
mm-hmm. and acknowledging the sovereignty of God within the circumstance, that we are not in control. And he gets all of us to this point, and probably several times in our lives we experience it, that we have no control. Mm-hmm. We don't determine the outcome, but we are before the one who can do something about it.
Yeah.
And once we surrender that to him, even if it's not the outcome we would desire, our heart condition will be one of, we would receive peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there are blessings in heavenly places that we have, and we have them now, but we experience them in worship, joy and peace and so forth. Mm-hmm. These things, these heavenly blessings that is available to us right now as believers, because God has given them to us, but we access them when we're in a heart of surrender and worship to the Lord.
And even when we look in the Bible, there are physical blessings that comes with worship. When we look at King Jehoshaphat, when that army was coming up against him, I particularly love that prayer that he gave. He was a king and a man. And that just seemed so different from what we know men of power to do mm-hmm. today. And when he said, "This great army is upon me, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." Seems so poetic. It mm-hmm. seems so poetic. Yes. But in preparing to face this army, he called one of the tribes to worship. And because of that worship, they didn't even have to fight. God stepped in and fought that battle for them. Now, today, we may not be going up against armies, but there are situations in our lives mm-hmm. that we go through, devastation. But God is calling us in the midst of it to worship him. And like you said about Job, even before Job was faced with these trials, he was a worshiper. Yes. Even when Job was wealthy and everything was going good, he was a worshiper. So when this devastation came, he did what he knew best to do.
Yes.
And that was worship. And we know in the story where God came through for him and blessed him tenfold.
Yeah. And I think when we look at Jehoshaphat, that he had a heart of connecting with God through prayer. Because mm-hmm. before they went to battle, you know, he went in to the temple he prayed. But in his prayer, he reminded the Lord of some mm-hmm. things,
mm-hmm.
right?
That takes confidence.
He reminded the Lord of some things. And so the prophecy came. The battle mm-hmm. is already won. So when he went out, he went out with praise,
yes,
and already knowing that God has given them the victory. And I to have a king in such a powerful position humble himself before the Lord in such a way and acknowledge his sovereignty over something that could have been devastating for the nation, mm-hmm, and accepted that, hey, if anything was going to change here, mm-hmm, it's God who was going to do, yeah, it for us. And so we can see in his life that as Job, mm-hmm, that they lived that lifestyle of prayer and worship, mm-hmm, and praise, mm-hmm, before the Lord. And therefore, Jehoshaphat could have led his people in the same way he lived.
It was an encouragement to us.
Yes.
To get to that point that when we are going through difficult times, call on God.
Yes.
Before we start to possibly sin, call on him. Cry out to him because he is near us.
Yes.
If we would just call, mm-hmm, on him. Tamara, could you close it out in prayer, please?
Yes. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to bow in your presence, to thank you and praise you for this time to delve into your word and to study more about worship, worshiping you. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised and adored. And so, Father, we ask that you will help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to live a life of worship before you, to worship you as you have instructed in spirit and in truth. And Father, that this would be our lifestyle. Lord, we pray that those who are listening, that they would be encouraged to know more about you. Because once we know more about you and who we serve, Lord, it's easy to bow to your majesty and to your sovereignty. Because we know a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. Mm-hmm. So we thank you, we praise you, we adore you, and we ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tamara, for a wonderful discussion and conversation on a time to worship. And thank you, listening audience, for tuning in. I just want to encourage you to understand that valleys will come, but the presence of God meets us there. And so when you feel the need to worry, I encourage you to replace that with worship. Until next time, continue to trust in God.
Amen.
Amen and amen.